Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Let's switch up, have some fun here.
Oh.
Oh, oh.
Okay. Ah! Oh.
Oh, oh yeah. What's that song? I'm gonna let this run.
Okay.
Because I can. Time to get you
cut.
Oh, man, it's here. Get you, get you crunch.
Yeah.
Get you crunch. Oh, yeah, we're having fun.
That's why we keep bringing here. We drop in everything you pop in. From the Yin Yang Twin begin to make your adrenaline pump right on through your skin and make that cup again.
I love it. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is Tuesday. We always do this October the 22nd, and you are talking sports with the 12th Man. Right now, I know we're waiting for Robert to join us, but I'm running solo just for a little bit, and we always have some fun. But once again, we'll throw out a couple numbers if you want to call into the show. The number to call in the show, once again, we've got 424-243-9519. That is the official number for our line for Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're also on Facebook. You want to check us out on Facebook. The way to reach us, it's facebook.com/12thmansports, or you can go to Talking Sports with 12th Man. You can find us that option. Last but not least, we are available via Twitter. So if you want to go find us on Twitter, it is @12, THMAN Sports. And that's how you find us via that option. So I typically get a chance to ask my co-host how he's doing. So he's not here just quite yet, but that's okay. We'll get the party moving as always. So riding solo, and this is the first time that I've done this in a long time. So we're going to talk about a lot of different topics tonight. First and foremost, we're going to go kick off the top five NFL teams currently for the week. And then we're going to talk about some NFL predictions, and there's been a lot of good games that we're going to talk about. First and foremost, we've got Dallas at Detroit, the Jets at Cincinnati. We'll kind of target that. We're going to talk about who would you like to take a big shot at the end of the game for the NBA. So we're basically talking about who you want to take the last shot, whether it's Kevin Durant or LeBron James. We'll see about that. We're going to talk about Jameis Winston. If you didn't know, dude had a phenomenal game versus Clemson, not looking like a freshman quarterback going to Death Valley. I know me and Rob both predicted that Clemson would run away with that game, but Jameis Winston has proven us wrong. And now he's getting some serious talk for Heisman. So we're going to talk about that. Is he a legitimate candidate for that? In a little bit, we're going to talk some college football predictions. Got a lot of games to go over. But without further ado, let's jump right in it. And since it's just by myself, I may end the show a little bit early. But we'll see how it plays off if I get any calls and or if anyone wants to tag team kind of figure out your questions or vice versa. So without further ado, let's jump into the top five teams in the NFL. And I'm just going to start it out, as always. Let's talk briefly about the only undefeated team in the NFL. That team is none other than the Kansas City Chiefs, and right now they are 7-0. You talk about a surprising turnaround for this team from last year to this year. Andy Reid has come in there and just done a phenomenal job coaching. And they already had the key ingredients. I think that they had some talent there. And the biggest question that they probably have is coaching, and another question they have is probably quarterback play. So right there, you kind of knock out two birds with one stone whenever you get Andy Reid as coaching that team. And second, if you're watching that team, you know, obviously Matt Castle was not the answer. I don't know if he was kind of hurt near the end of the season. But you come in there, you get a guy like Alex Smith. And I'll be honest, I didn't know if Alex Smith is the guy that's going to take them to the promised land. But right now, he's doing everything right. So if you're watching Alex Smith, he's not making any mistakes. Andrew Reid is calling a phenomenal game as far as keeping him within his game plan, not making him stress the field too much right now, having a solid running game, having a solid defense. And right now, Kansas City is kind of the talk of the league right now for being undefeated. So we'll see how it goes as far as the future. But right now, you definitely have to like what you see when it comes to Kansas City, and they are the only undefeated team right now in the NFL. Second, let's talk about Denver, the Denver Broncos. And they're still number two, and I know it was an emotional game for Peyton Manning going back to Indianapolis, kind of where he built it all. And I don't know if you had a chance to watch the broadcast, but it's amazing to see the similarities between Peyton and between Andrew Luck as far as, Andrew Luck's father was Oliver Luck, if you didn't know. He was actually the backup to Archie Manning back in the day. So it's just interesting that these guys' lives have been intertwined even far back a couple years, not a couple years, but, back in those days because, obviously Andrew Luck followed the Mannings around wherever they went, a lot of the camps and whatnot. So, So whenever you're kind of watching the game, you're like, this is a situation where you had Andrew Luck that looked up to the Mannings, and it's almost like a perfect picture of how that happened as far as the evolution whenever Peyton moving on. And then here you have Andrew Luck just literally stepping right into that role as Peyton prepared the way, as he always does. So just an interesting thing as far as that. That's a little tangent that I went on. But Denver was 6-1, or they're now 6-1 after taking that loss. But still, I still think they're probably the talk of the league as well. And right now, I think if you're a Bronco fan, you may not be happy with the way the game was played. There may have been a lot of certain penalties that may have been called against the Broncos, but the Colts have been playing extremely well, and I'm going to have them as far as in my top five as well. Following Denver, I've got the Seattle Seahawks. They are 6-1 right now. Russell Wilson is kind of starting to come into his own earlier in the season. I know he's playing pretty well, but he's just building upon that, getting his game back intact. He's always had a lot of confidence. The defense has been phenomenal. The running game is pretty solid. And, right now it's just kind of getting some more weapons around Russell Wilson. So if you look at him, you got to be impressed as far as what's been going on. Very impressed with that particular squad. So they're definitely one of the talk of the league as they continue to progress. Number four, I'm going to show some love to Robert's team, to the New Orleans Saints. I know they had a bye week, so definitely I want to show them some love in this instance. Even though they had a bye, right now they've been a pretty solid. You got to give them love as far as with Rex Ryan, what he's been doing with that defense, and very impressed with that as well. Number five, I have the aforementioned Colts. They are 5-2. There's a lot of teams that could be an honorable mention right now, but I'm going to go with the Colts because they beat a pretty dynamic team in the Denver Broncos, which I'm sure not everyone was predicting for that to happen, but if you are a Colts fan, you definitely have to like the direction of that franchise. That last week was a tough game for them the previous week, but right now they're on a roll. They give the Colts a lot of love how they have been playing. That is my top five for the NFL. Definitely, if you want to have your thoughts or you want to share anything, the number to call once again is 424-243-9519. We are going to keep moving after move about the top five teams in the NFL. Let's talk about some NFL predictions here. And the next game next week we're going to talk about is Detroit has been playing pretty well also. And I know that's kind of my adjective right now, but you definitely have to like the way that Detroit has been playing. Obviously, if I kind of look at I'm taking a quick peek, they're 4-3. I know they had a good loss, but right now, you have to kind of keep they look like they're a team that's trying to find themselves. And I know having a weapon like Reggie Bush has definitely changed the dynamic of the offense. And for some reason, I think their defense has taken a slight step back. And I don't know if that's just because of – I know that the offense is so explosive in a lot of instances in that, you know, one side of the ball kind of lean on the other. And right now with that explosive running game kind of taking shape, you know, they don't really have that big ball control type of offense just yet. I still think they're a couple of pieces away. Obviously, you've added, you know, you've seen a couple of development guys. I mean, Nate Brosen has been out. Chris Durham has been stepping up. He used to play for Georgia, so he's been doing a good thing. But like I said, I think once they add a couple more pieces and add a little more depth, Detroit is definitely going to be, dare I say, a surprising team to watch in the future. I know they're not quite there yet, but that's kind of what's going on with that as well. Next game, let's talk about the Jets at Cincinnati. And you talk about a Jets team, once again, you know, I'm not quite there yet as far as thinking they're the thing, but this is a team that I'm slowly becoming a believer in because if you looked at the game, Geno Smith threw a pick six, and you were thinking, man, this is going to be tough for him to overcome that. And then it turns around that Tom Brady messes around and throws a pick six. So, you know, things like that you know, kind of happen. They were able to pull out in overtime. And if you are a Jets fan, wow. You have to be very excited about the growth of Geno Smith. And once again, I'm not saying he's totally there yet, but you have to be excited as far as the growth of what he's been doing. And, you know, like I said, they've always had a pretty good team. And like I said, if you can kind of see the problem with the Jets was definitely quarterback play. And dare I say, Mark Sanchez got a lot of heat, a lot of flack, and maybe it was rightfully deserved because right now Geno Smith has been a fabulous job as far as leading this team to the next level, and I've been very, very impressed with what he's been doing in the future. A couple of things I do want to talk about briefly is – a lot of injuries that have been happening in the NFL, and I don't know if this has been a cause as far as, you know, what's been going on as far as the new contract and the CBA agreement and that these players aren't practicing as much. I know I keep bringing that up because I do wonder if that has something to do with it as far as I know that football is already a violent game as it is, but I can't help but wonder if these guys not, you know, getting a chance. I know their bodies are – they're in great shape and whatnot, but – you have to build up that kind of what's what I'm looking for. You have to kind of build up your body to take that type of punishment. So, whenever these players are taking less and less reps and less practice time, you know, I'm not sure if it's a cause and an effect for all these guys getting injured. So, if you didn't hear the case, you know, a couple guys are out for the season. You know, Reggie Wayne was obviously lost in that game versus the Broncos, so he's out for the season. That may have been more or less a situation for a bad pass from Andrew Luck, but still a big blow for the Colts right now. Also, Doug Martin versus the Falcons. You know, he's out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so he's out with a torn labrum. That was pretty devastating. And like I said, there's been a couple more players that you, as you're kind of watching what's been going down. Sam Bradford, he's out with a torn ACL, I want to say. You know, I think Kellen Clemens will be taking over the reins for the Rams. And, you know, we're not 100% sure Sam Bradford is the answer anyway, but right now he's the best playmaker for that team. So he's actually out for the season. And then obviously Jay Cutler, he's not out for the season, but he had a situation where his injury is going to take him out for 4 to 6 weeks. So I'm not going to mention the Falcons. I know they've had a rough go as it is. They've got some guys that are out too, so it's just been a tough season for injuries right now. So I guess the thing is, if you can hold serve and figure out a way to continue to strengthen that depth, I know it's tough with free agency and with the salary cap error, but you know, at this juncture, I would say keep doing what you're doing and build up that depth as an NFL team. So the way things are looking right now, it's tough between Tampa Bay in Jacksonville as far as who's going to get that number one pick. You know, if you're Jacksonville, I think either or you can take a quarterback. You know, I'm not sure if Mike Glennon is the answer 100%, but you never know. Whew, that's a lot to talk about. Anyway, so that's what's going down in the NFL. It's been a very, very good last week. There's been a lot of good games. And if anyone wants to tell us, kind of call in and tell us what's been going on, you know, definitely let me know. You know, just kind of highlighting a couple of different games, too. I know there's a lot of tight games that have been going down. You know, San Diego did their thing versus Jacksonville. You know, Dallas was kind of able to hold serve versus Philadelphia. And what an exciting game. In spite of what happened between, you know, losing Jay Cutler, Chicago was able to kind of hold off, continue to play, even though they lost to Washington 41-45. That was another phenomenal situation, too. So let's talk about that. Another big injury that you want to obviously had was Houston losing Arian Foster. I'm not quite sure if he's out for the season, but that's a big, big blow for them once again. So that's pretty interesting as well. Obviously, we want to talk more briefly about the New York Giants. The New York Giants, they were able to finally get their first win versus Minnesota. And I just really want to talk about this because if I'm looking at this and Josh Freeman was 20-for-53 or something like that, almost 21-53, he threw the ball 53 times. Man, if you're sitting back and you're watching this, you're probably like, I know that the whole goal for the Giants was to stack the box. And like, you know, we're not going to let Adrian Peterson beat us. So they stacked the box, and they left the receivers out there and said, okay, Josh Freeman, beat us. And I actually have to give a lot of not a lot of kudos, but to the coaching staff of the Vikings. Because if you're the Vikings, you obviously know that Josh Freeman is probably better than what you have right now. But you kind of forced him into the decision to play. So right now, if you're watching the game, you're like, man, I don't think Josh Freeman was actually ready physically to play in that particular game. So Josh Freeman, I don't think it's his fault in this instance. I definitely want to blame the coaching staff because they did not do their due diligence in making sure that that Josh Freeman was actually prepared to play. So in spite of the fact that, you know, the Giants won, I do feel a little sorry for Josh Freeman. But a couple weeks, I think he'll be fine. But this was definitely some growing pains for him right about now. Man, let's keep it moving. I'm still waiting to hear back from Rob. I think he may have been caught on another situation, but that's okay. I am Andre, still running Talking Sports with the 12th Man. If you want to call into the show, the number to call, it's 424-243-9519. We're keeping it moving. I'm actually calling you guys from Savannah, so had a fantastic dinner. Just had a chance to kind of recharge my battery. So, man, it's a beautiful place. Just having some fun hanging out. What we do every Tuesday, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. NFL talk is king. And I guess I kind of want to take this in a different direction slightly. One thing I want to talk about, and not that I don't love football, but I do want to talk real quick. I do want to switch gears, kind of talk basketball-wise. So, if you are a basketball head, the question that we have is, who would you prefer to take the last shot of the game? Would you rather prefer Kevin Durant or LeBron James? Kevin Durant or LeBron James taking the last shot of the game? Now, if you had asked me this question a couple of weeks ago, hands down, I would have told you Kevin Durant, because I just think I'm a big, big, huge fan of Kevin Durant. I love his game. I love the impact he's made. He's not quite there yet as far as on the LeBron level just yet. And what I mean by that, I mean that he's a dynamic player, definitely one of the top three, if not top two players in the league right now. But he hasn't been able to get over that hump. And I don't know whether, you know, you always get exposed during the playoffs. It helps you figure out what you want to work on for the next year. You know, Kevin Durant, he's got a pretty good game, amazing score, great length, great durability, able to play all the times. But I think if you look at him, I don't think he's completed his game. I mean, he's not that strong of a defensive player. Maybe his rebounding may need a little bit of help. He's not really a big assist guy either, but, you know, as far as scoring, he's there. He'll give you some assists. He'll give you some rebounds. But as far as being a complete dominant player, he is not there yet. LeBron, on the other hand, obviously, he is the poster child, of just an impact player. I mean, the way he's built like a linebacker. You know, he's gone through a lot of challenges. He's been called the chosen one. his debacle with ESPN. But right now, he's done everything in his power to elevate that team. He's taken his game to another level. He's been able to learn how to post up and just use his basketball IQ to become a better player and make the team around him so much better. And also his will to succeed has been phenomenal. He gets to the gym early to work out, I want to say like 3 hours or 5 hours early, just to make sure that he is working hard on his game. And I don't know if Kevin Durant's doing the exact same thing, but, you know, right now, the last shot, I wanted to be Kevin, not Kevin Durant, excuse me, I wanted to be LeBron James. And like I said, it's almost like a 1A, 1B scenario. I'm a huge, huge fan of Kevin Durant. I am a fan of LeBron as well. I mean, who's not? But I've always just thought that Kevin Durant was just so silky smooth. That's who I think is phenomenal and who I would like taking the last shot, LeBron James, if I had to go about it right about now. So that is what I have to say about that subject. America, all of my my fans up there who love Kobe Bryant, I'm not the biggest Kobe Bryant fan. Still, in this instance, right now, I still think between Kevin Durant and LeBron James, those are the two best players right now in the league. There's always room for more at the top, but for now, that's who I think should be taking my last shot. Having a good time here. Keeping it moving. We got about 8 minutes left in the show. And I guess we're going to talk about some college football predictions just because I think it is about that time. We're going to keep it rolling, 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 rolling. Real quick, before I get to that, I do want to talk real quick about Jameis Winston. And we talk about, is he the favorite to win the Heisman? Now, there's been a couple of players that have come along that have been very, very special. And I'm not going to put Johnny Manziel in this category that he's special, but I'm going to put him in the category in that his impact to the game. And, you know, Jameis Winston has been getting a lot of pub, rightfully so. And to see his development, you kind of see this guy. And as I mentioned, we pretty much thought that Clemson was going there and just handle business against Jameis. We thought the moment was going to be too big for Jameis. You know, you're a freshman, you're on the road, your first ACC game. And you talk about a guy that is aced it with flying colors. I am thoroughly, thoroughly impressed with what Jameis Winston has been able to do. He's probably been the best quarterback for Florida State since a Charlie Ward. And I'm not scared to say that. I always thought Charlie Ward was a phenomenal quarterback. And at the time whenever he came out, I don't think they were interested in transferring quarterbacks or black quarterbacks as a quarterback in the league, in the NFL. So he decided to go Charlie Ward, that is, decided to go with the route of the point guard for the Knicks. So even so, I thought he was a dynamic, dynamic quarterback and would be probably very similar to a Russell Wilson right about now. And I'm not saying that he is Russell Wilson, but I think he probably had that same type of impact. He's able to run, able to pass, and just a cerebral type of player. So kind of sad that he didn't make it. But as I take a step back, Jameis Winston has played phenomenal. And I'm sure that if you're Jimbo Fisher, this Florida State team looks very similar to the Florida States of old, where they were dominant in the ACC. And as an ACC guy with my beloved Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, you can't help but be excited as far as the growth of this particular program coming and bringing it back to a prominence. You got to give Jimbo Fisher a huge, huge high five as far as what he's been doing, as far as how his impact in the game. Very impressive what he's been able to accomplish. And, you know, like I said, no complaints on that front. And I've been very, very impressed what's been going on in that instance. So, Jameis, is he the favorite to win the Heisman? I would say a resounding yes. And, like I said, as I started this first part of the conversation, there's a couple players that you thought that were special. And even as a freshman, I kind of shied away from giving a freshman the Heisman. But after watching him and after seeing how he's been able to, like I said, go into a place like Death Valley, handle his business against a huge, huge rival, I definitely got to say right now he's probably the leading candidate to win the Heisman. Not to say that, you know, it's still, we have a couple more games to lock down Teddy Bridgewater, we talk about him. He's pretty positive as far as his game. You know, I don't think they've played anybody just yet. Jadeveon Clowney, enough said about him. I think it's tough for a defensive player to win the Heisman, but, you know, he's definitely a consideration. Mario Mariotti, he's a quarterback for Oregon. Please forgive me. I don't have his full name pulled up right in front of me just now, but he's a quarterback for Oregon. He's been doing this thing. Just name a few candidates right now for the Heisman. I know that Aaron Murray's probably slipped as far as Heisman talk, not due to his fault, but just as far as the play of Georgia. And we'll talk about a couple of teams that have been upset over the weekend, which is very, very surprising. I wanted to get Rob's take on that, but that's okay. We'll keep moving as always. Speaking of some upsets last week in college football, you had a lot. You're Georgia. You are probably crying in some type of establishment, maybe I want to say a bar, after that game because you guys got beat by Vanderbilt. That had not happened, I want to say, since like the 1940s. So, and not to say that Vanderbilt's a bad team, and for all my Vanderbilt fans, I apologize in that. And since I'm saying that you guys are terrible, but there's certain teams that you know you should have an advantage on. And definitely this particular instance, you know, Vanderbilt, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, they aren't good, but this is a team that historically Georgia has should be able to handle because they've got more talent. The coaching, you know, could be a wash in this instance. But, you know, right now, yeah, Vanderbilt did the unthinkable. They were able to come in there, hold serve, and defeat a depleted, but you still got to play the game, depleted. Yet a very underwhelming Georgia team. So hopefully Mark Richt will get the ship righted. I know they got a bye week this week, which is always tough because you don't get a chance to play that next game, get all that blah, blah out of your system. And they're going to go against a very, very tough Florida team in 2 weeks. So the largest cocktail party will be up and running. But, wow, I'm sure it's going to be missing a couple different pieces in that. Another huge upset I want to point out is Ole Miss versus LSU. Now, if you are Rob, I'm sure you're probably not happy about the outcome of the game. You know, LSU looks like Zach Mettenberger is kind of regressing to his old ways in this particular game. So I know old habits are hard to die, but we need Zach to step up. You know, obviously, LSU has always had a pretty good defensive and offensive line. They've been holding serve, and then they actually ran into a buzzsaw in Vanderbilt. So it's very curious to see how that's played out, but we'll keep moving as far as that. Another big upset, and like I said, this doesn't have to necessarily be an upset, but let's talk about Auburn, and let's talk about Texas A&M. So you talk about a situation where, you know, Gus Malzahn is quietly turning this program right back around. I'm not saying they're going to go to the national championship, but you talk about a phenomenal job right now in that Gus. But anyway, I'm having too much fun, guys. Let's talk real quick. I'm just talking. I'm talking too much. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some information next week as far as college football. I'm not going to get a chance to go into the OT portion because it's just me. But let's set the stage for next week as always. I know this is Rob's job to set the stage as far as next week. What we do. But as always, you know, next week we're going to continue to talk more or less about, you know, NFL game. We're going to jump into baseball talk. Definitely tune us out, same time, same channel next week, talking sports with 12 men. Hopefully we have Rob on board. We'll get a chance to share his thoughts. And I'm just happy, guys, I was able to make the show last 30 minutes by myself. So this show may go into the archive mode. I'm going to talk briefly more or less about the couple of college football picks before we set the stage for next week. I had a couple of these I wanted to talk about. Texas Tech at Oklahoma, Texas Tech. I think they're going to pull this game off. Number three, Oregon, UCLA. I definitely like Oregon in this particular matchup. South Carolina at number five, Missouri. I'm going to pick Missouri in the fact that South Carolina, they lost Connor Shaw, but Missouri's playing fantastic. I like them. And Stanford at number 25, Oregon State. I'm going to go Stanford because they're going to win that. But anyway, that is what we do. I want to thank everyone for listening to this abridged version of Talking Sports 12 Men. Hopefully we get Rob next week. Anyway, same time, same channel. Enjoyed it. See Chris out.